bringing books to life. Vision without sight.
Blood Roots, an Andy Carmichael case, a paranormal thriller. Written, dramatised and produced by Be Here.
Jules was pretty insistent I take you tonight. That means there's something more in her request than her just trying to play Cupid. Care to tell me what's going on?
You mean to say that she hasn't told you anything about me or why I might be interested in meeting the people at this dinner? And you agreed anyway?
Well, she is the major shareholder in the company, and as such, I wouldn't want to upset her. But more than that, I have known Jules all my life. Our families are pretty close. We grew up together when we were younger. And you know Jules, there is just no point in arguing with her. If she says she wants you to do something, it's best just to do it. She wouldn't have asked if there wasn't a good reason. One thing I do know about her is that she always has a reason for everything she does.
Yes, she does, doesn't she?
Andy stopped for a moment to think about what to tell him. If Jules wanted me to meet him, she must trust him, and that was enough for her.
Jules and I worked together at the agency. I assume you knew she worked at the agency. When we left, I set up in business as a private investigator, and Jules has helped me ever since. Her connections and the way she gets things done have been a major reason why I have done so well. She has a certain way of being able to persuade people to come up with the information you want. A few days ago, I was approached by an ex-colleague of ours to help investigate the murder of a young girl. There were certain, should we say, talents I have that made them think that this would be something I could help them with. During the first investigation, it was discovered that this girl had worked for the Sol's company in the States, and so I guess Jules thought it might be worth a visit, just to sniff around.
Okay, I see. I can introduce you to Eduardo. He pretty much runs the whole operation now. I have to warn you, though, he has a liking for attractive women.
We should be okay then, shouldn't we?
The rest of the journey to her house passed with banter and chat. That easy, carefree chat you manage with someone you've known for a long time. Peter pulled into her drive.
Just give me 10 minutes and I'll be back with you.
She jumped out the car. Andy headed straight up to her bedroom. She stood at her wardrobe, deciding what to take. It was taking her a lot longer than she thought. She'd already discarded a half dozen choices. She surprised herself with how much she cared about what it was she chose.
Why is it taking so long to decide?
She eventually placed her choices in a small overnight bag and went back downstairs, locked the door behind her, and got back into Peter's car.
10 minutes, huh?
Well, a girl has to be prepared for all eventualities,
she found herself saying.
Right, come on, let's get on our way.
Peter reversed out of the drive and headed for the estate where the helicopter was waiting. The journey was a quick 10 minutes and filled with small talk. It was as if they were both avoiding a deeper conversation for fear of where it might lead. They pulled up to large double gates which opened as they arrived. Andy noticed the camera above the gates and assumed they knew Peter's car. He drove in and around the main house to a large garage, which he just drove straight in. They got out and Peter led them out the back onto a large field, which was part of the heath. Andy saw the helicopter a short distance away with the rotor blades running. A man was heading towards them and, as he passed, Peter threw him the keys and said,
"Look after her as usual, Simon."
Simon gave a slight shrug of the shoulders and a nod as he caught the keys.
"Right, sure thing. Let me know when you're back and I'll come and meet you."
With that, he headed towards the garage. Peter turned to Andy.
"You ready?"
"Certainly,"
she said. Andy placed her bag in the back along with one that Peter had pulled out the boot, and they climbed into the chopper. Buckling themselves in, they pulled the headphones over their ears. Peter changed the speed of the rotors and guided the machine into the air. Dipping its nose, he spun it around and headed off in a northerly direction.
"Shouldn't take us much more than an hour and 15 to get there, so enjoy the trip,"
she heard Peter through the headphones.
"Sure, no problem. I've been in plenty of helicopters before. How well do you know this Eduardo, and what does the company do?"
I've known him now for about 5 years. The part of his company I deal with has some nanotech that we have tried to utilize in our AI holo systems.
Okay. What is an AI / holo system?
I'm so pleased you asked. We have developed artificial intelligence that interfaces with a small patch implanted at the base of the skull, just under the skin. This sends signals via the spinal column using the nanotech to the occipital lobe of the brain. This means that we can enhance the visual experience of someone by producing holographical images and data directly to the brain so that it thinks it can see them through the eyes.
Peter glanced across at Andy.
Of course. This is all currently hypothetical, and we have only been able to test on mice and rats. It seems to work, though. It's been 8 years in the testing stage. I could go into the detail if you want. Or you can wait to see what Eduardo and his company have to say tonight. There will be a presentation on the most current advances.
Are you saying that you are physically allowing nanotech to enter the spinal column of living things?
Well, no, not precisely. We are using the tech to build a neutral interface to the spinal cord and send the signal down this interface. It doesn't actually travel into the cord and to the brain. It is merely the signal that does. They act as a conduit between the tech in the patch and the spinal column carrying the signal.
Oh, well, that's okay then. That hardly sounds intrusive at all.
Perhaps I am making it sound too clinical. If it's any consolation, I have very little to do with it other than being in charge of the company. Really, Andy, this is early tech, and though we have been at this for 8 years, we are nowhere near moving this to any kind of human testing stage. Probably as much as 20 years away. We use the AI and the holographical tech via virtual reality to help people in all walks of life without it being intrusive. If you are interested, I can show you when we get back.
That would be great, and I would love to come and see your company and the work you do. Especially if you invite me to dinner too.
Andy thought.
My God, that was bold.
But she was also aware that she didn't care. She liked Peter, even from just the short time she had known him.
What else do you know about Eduardo and his company?
Not too much about him personally. I know he likes to surround himself with incredibly beautiful women, and his company has a lot of them in senior positions. They have a charity in the States that takes in disadvantaged women and gives them a chance to become something. They invest a lot of money in education and training. I hear it does very well indeed. Lots of the women end up in very high-powered jobs, both in government and some top companies. Eduardo is very charming. He is a family man, though. Very protective of his wife.
It all sounds too good to be true. I'm always suspicious when that happens. There was definitely something odd about what happened to Gabrielle. Call it intuition and the fact that MI5 are watching the company. I doubt we'll find out anything this weekend. But it may help to be able to get a feel for what the company is about and how it operates. Jules clearly thought it was worth the visit.
Hey, and who knows? You may enjoy the experience.
Andy looked at him again and was fairly sure that she might indeed. It had been a long time since she had felt any kind of attraction to anyone. These feelings had been absent for many years. Her feelings were a little worrying, but at the same time, she was excited by the anticipation of what may be possible. She allowed herself a small smile and noticed that Peter was slowing down the helicopter and headed for a field a short distance away from a magnificent country manor. Indeed, it might be an enjoyable weekend, she thought. They touched down and Peter hit the kill switch from the rotor blades. Removing their headphones, they got out, and Peter reached into the back and handed Andy her bag. Andy could see someone was standing at the top of a flight of stairs and looking toward them. His arm was raised in salutation. He began to descend the stairs as they approached. Andy was confused. The noise in her head had started up and was quickly turning into a clamour. Her murmurings were becoming insistent. She looked up and could see the man had his hand outstretched. Peter put a bag down to shake it. He turned to face Andy and she froze. The murmurings now at fever pitch. As she looked at him, she could see a cloud cross his face.
Eduardo, this is Andy.
Eduardo extended his hand toward her and, as she stood transfixed, she automatically took it. Here, in front of her, was the man from her visions. Her knees buckled as their hands met, and she headed for the floor.
He is the one. He controls all. He is the conduit.